I've met every morning at 9 a.m. since January for Bible study. We've learned Methodist church history. We've learned core Christian doctrine and theology. We've talked about what it means to be a leader within the church, and we've talked about what it means to be a part of a diverse, multicultural church, and we've talked about what it means to serve the church. They've done spiritual formation exercises. They have learned about the Wesley brothers. They've studied it all. They have also participated in service projects. They led devotions for the nominations and leadership development workshop this winter, which was a big hit. They also were servers at the Easter pancake breakfast. In addition to their time here at church on campus, they have met at least once a month, some of them more than once a month, with a confirmation sponsor. We have 12 confirmation sponsors who have given up their time to meet one-on-one with our confirmation students, to do Bible study, to answer questions, to pray with, and to support them through this experience. And the confirmation class has also spent time on retreat. Our first offsite, we went to the Harris Rauter house and had lunch together and played together and prayed together and shared our hopes and fears for confirmation. But we also joined, because we're a Methodist church, we're a connectional system, we also joined with other Methodist youth from all over the state of Minnesota to learn about the distinctives of being United Methodist. So we got a chance to meet John Wesley, sort of. And we got to plan a service with the other Methodist youth that the bishop preached at, and we learned church history and where the Methodist Church came from and where the Methodist Church is going. And so this is a rite of passage, but this is not just a rite of passage that is automatic. These students have really put blood, sweat, and tears into getting ready for confirmation. So please honor them as full members that they are, and hold them to a high expectation that they've done the work. Now it's time to call them forward to service and leadership within our church. So thank you and congratulations to you all. But let's pray, and then Andrew will come up and read the word for us. God, you are so good, and you have brought us through these 5 months of the confirmation journey. But you were at work in our lives way before confirmation started, and you will continue to be at work in our lives after confirmation. God, be with us today as we close the service with the preaching of your word. Be with Andrew as he reads, and Alex and Kaya as they preach. And Lord, truly let this be not the graduation or the end of our walk with you, but let this be just the start of another chapter of our walk with you, that that we will continue to make a difference, that we will continue to be disciple makers and world transformers. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So please welcome Andrew, and he will be reading our scripture for the morning.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. So, a lot of us, some of us didn't grow up in traditions with confirmation, and so it's important to know what confirmation is about. The word confirmation means with firmness, and confirmation means we're firming up what's gone before and committing ourselves to what comes next. Being confirmed does not mean that our theology is perfect. Being confirmed does not mean that we have all the answers. But what it does mean is that we are choosing to say yes to God's invitation to become a part of God's spiritual house. We've been looking at this passage that Andrew read that talks about Christ as our cornerstone in confirmation over the last 3 weeks. And we came to a couple conclusions about what it means that Christ is the cornerstone. When we first asked, what does it mean, what is a cornerstone? Being Park Avenue kids who have grown up in this congregation, by and large, they said, it's a store that's open on Wednesdays. Which is true. We don't have a lot of... Joe is actually one of our... Joe was confirmed 2 years ago and volunteered this year to be our student leader, to be an assistant teacher. And she said... which means she's gone through the confirmation class twice. So if you have any questions about anything relating to being a Methodist, being a Christian, or being a leader, go to Joe before you come to myself or Pastor Will or Pastor Cynthia. Joe is now our theologian in residence. But she said, well, my mom's an architect, and she said, if you didn't have a corner piece to a building, you'd have two walls. And if you had just two walls, if a wind gust came this way, this wall would fall over. And if you had a wind gust that came this way, this wall would fall over. And so a cornerstone really keeps the walls standing upright. And it's true, without Christ, this church, this body, would be falling over left and right. And then we talked about the cornerstone gets placed early on, and so then the next stones can be placed right in line with it. If you didn't have the cornerstone to set the direction, you may have stones not in a straight line. You may have stones that don't quite fit, that don't line up. And so Christ as our cornerstone is really Christ our Lord, who shows us the way, that shows us the way that we should go, the way that we should live. And so Christ, as our cornerstone, both shows us how to live and then provides us with the stability to keep from falling over. And so we praise God for that. It's an honor to be placed in that spiritual house. And it's an honor to be chosen, but we have to say yes to that. Kaya's going to come and speak to us today about what it means for her to be chosen, and to talk about the honor and the responsibilities that come with being a part of the spiritual house. So please join me in welcoming Kaya to the pulpit.
Good morning, Park Avenue. Good morning. My name is Kaya Fitzgerald. Today I'm going to talk to you about what an honor it is to be chosen by God and the responsibility that goes along with the honor. First of all, I want you to remember this. This represents a heart. Last year, I was selected to represent Roseville Area Schools for the Minnesota State Honors Choir for sixth grade. Being chosen was a big deal for me and my school. I was excited because only two of us were selected from those schools. It made me feel very happy and special that I was chosen. But I also realized I had responsibilities to the choir. That meant I had to learn the songs, show up for practice on time, and do the best job I could. But being chosen by God is a much bigger deal. Like the scripture says in 1 Peter 2:9, we are the ones chosen by God.
Amen.
Being dedicated as a baby, and today baptized and confirmed, and accepted by God is a complete honor. It is more important to me than anything. You feel like you're refreshed. You look the same outside, but inside you're different. You feel new. But when you feel new, your responsibilities to God and your church, such as to read my Bible more and learn how God wants me to live, also in church, to be a part of whatever they need me to do.
Amen.
Being baptized and confirmed in the name of Jesus makes me feel like he is not only my Savior, but he is like a father to me. When I pray to Jesus, I feel like his arms are around me, and I feel safe. I know that I can always go to him. Like not too long ago, I had an argument with a friend over something really silly. When we left each other to go home, I felt sad. When I feel sad, I pray. I prayed that night for God to show me how my friend and I could be friends again. When I finished praying, I heard a voice in my heart that said, "Go apologize to your friend." I felt like it wasn't my fault because I spoke the truth, but I knew I should apologize anyway. So I did, and we're friends again. It just told me that prayer works, and that is an honor to be part of God's family. Now, do you remember this? What this means to me is that God lives in each and every one of our hearts, and that is truly an honor. Thank you, Park Avenue, for all your support. And may God bless each and every one of you.
Amen.
Thank you.
I just want to remind you that Kaya and Alex are maybe the youngest preachers we've ever had at Park Avenue. Confirmation is available for any student in 6th through 12th grade, and we've never actually had a 6th grader go through confirmation this year, and this year I think we had 4 6th graders, including Kaya and Alex. And so, as far as I know, they are the youngest preachers this pulpit has ever held. So, and God has certainly poured out a lot of gifts on both of them. Kaya talked about the honor of being chosen by God and the responsibilities that come with that honor. We're built into this house not just for the sake of being a part of this house, but in order that as a house, we can proclaim God's goodness and study God's truth. And Alex is going to share a little bit today about two people in his life who have helped him to find truth in God's word, and two people who have helped move him out of spiritual darkness and into the light. So please join me in welcoming Alex as he teaches us how to declare the praises of God.
Good morning, Park.
Good morning.
My name is Alexander Love. It has been my privilege to confirm my faith in Christ. On this journey, I have seen excellent examples of goodness and mercy shown to me. One example of someone who has shown God's goodness is Minister Belton. During youth service, he taught us how to find our own truth in scriptures and Bible stories we've heard countless times before. For example, John 3:16 is a verse I thought I knew pretty well until he broke it down for me and helped me to understand it better. Please turn your Bibles to John 3:16. Everybody there? All right. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the whole world, not just the humans and the cute animals, but all of his creation, even the ones we may think are ugly. Another person who has shown God's goodness is my own mom. She is very protective of all the kids, including the kids in our choir. In fact, if my mom ever gets angry, it's a righteous anger. In fact, just the other night, we talked about it. Okay, let me explain what that is. Do you know the time God flipped out and turned over tables and seats of merchants in his temple? Well, it's in Mark chapter 11, 15 through 17. Sorry, you guys turn your Bibles there too. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" Now, he did that because people were selling and buying things in God's holy temple when they should have been allowing them to bring their problems up to God and pray. Well, my mom gets mad like Jesus. She gets mad for righteous reasons. And this helps me to understand that it is okay for me to be passionate about the things I believe in, such as vulnerable people should be fiercely protected from abuse.
Amen.
This is yet another example of me finding my own truth in Christ. To wrap this all up, being baptized and confirmed today really means a lot to me. Once I was stumbling in darkness and ignorance, but I became a disciple, and now my eyes are opening, and I am in God's marvelous light. Perhaps one day I can disciple others and help them find their truths in God. Thank you.
Amen.
So my heart's all strangely warmed, if I'm going to use Methodist language, but I'm really proud, not just of Kaya and Alex, but of all 12 of you. And you have done incredible work, and I'm grateful to your parents for getting you here and for putting up with their 850 emails a week from me. I'm grateful to your sponsors, and I'm grateful that you've allowed me to be a part of this journey with you. So, Confirmands, congratulations, and I really am so proud of you. So thank you for doing this work. Perhaps like you, or perhaps like me, your heart is also feeling strangely warmed today, or you're feeling moved somehow by the testimonies of the confirmation students, or by the power of the decisions that they've made to say, yes, I am choosing to be built into this spiritual house. I am choosing to be built stone by stone, brick by brick, into this community. Perhaps you're touched by Kaya's testimony of feeling that sense of honor and renewal, and you want to feel some of that for yourself. You want to say yes to God this morning. Maybe you're younger than the confirmation students. Maybe you're one of our youth or one of our children, and you'd say, I want what those confirmation students have for myself. Or maybe you're older than our confirmation students, or you're one of their peers. Maybe you're a 6th through 12th grader too. And you'd say, I want to say yes to God's yes. I want to say yes to God's invitation. If that's you, the altar is open today. Maybe you just want to spend some time praying for those who have made a decision to say yes to God's yes. Again, the altar is open for you as well. But join me in joining with our confirmands to say yes to God's yes and to say yes to the honor of being built into the spiritual house. Amen. The altar's open. You can come forward to pray if you'd like. And I believe you have some remarks as well. Yes. All right. And I'll invite Rachel and Aaron to come forward as well.
Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken, let the church say.